Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Piatt County Journal Republican for Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article that's under the banner of Coronavirus virus at a halt. Prep for virus shuts down schools, sports, and dine-ins. At the start of last week, coronavirus was a concern, but schools planned to stay open and professional sports teams were only considering a pause of their seasons. But by Friday, the situation changed hourly. By then, the Piatt County Nursing Home was closed to visitors, and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker had canceled school statewide until at least March 31st. That was followed by a ban on dine-in eating at restaurants and bars beginning March 17th. Many were making arrangements for curbside pickup and delivery in order to continue operations. It was also announced over the weekend that Piatt County courts would hear only the most serious and timely cases, such as criminal felonies, timely and emergency juvenile hearings, orders of protection, emergency hearings on family matters, and other cases as they see fit. Civil cases, traffic, misdemeanor, probate, small claims, family court, and some juvenile cases are postponed. Oh, and there was a real run on toilet paper at local stores. By Monday, the first Central Illinois cases had been identified in Champaign, Woodford, and Coles counties. It brought the number to 93 statewide, up from 46 on Friday, and more than 3,600 in the United States, 1,619 on Friday. Here's how things played out on Wednesday, March 11th. Fear of a widespread outbreak makes a run on some essential household items. Hand sanitizer is sold out in most stores. We went out and couldn't find hand sanitizer online or anywhere else, said Beaumont School Superintendent Sheila Greenwood. She added it wasn't available at Walmart or Kroger, among others. She settled on Dollar Tree. I said, I'm going to go to the Dollar Tree and bought 200. They are medium-sized things. The teachers will go through one of those a day, she said. Toilet paper was also being sold out in area communities, which trickled down to empty shelves in Monticello by Friday. The local county market put a limit of 2 packages each of toilet paper and paper towels per customer. Cerro Gordo School Superintendent Brett Robinson said meetings were nearly continuous among staff to protect students and the public. The health, safety, and welfare of our students, staff, and community is our highest priority. We are diligently following the preventative measures recommendations we are receiving both directly and indirectly from the CDC and IDPH. We have posted CDC guidance about COVID-19 on our district website to keep the students, staff, and community informed, he said. Greenwood gave a similar statement to the Beaumont School Board that evening. Just being proactive, not panic, but just stay calm and everything. Just start to think about everything that are trying to make sure we have plans in place so we don't have to make any rash decisions, said Greenwood. Of course, we have pandemic plans, and we have plans on how to handle all those types of things. This is such a moving target because literally every couple of hours we're getting new information. On Thursday, March 12th, cancellations began to pour in. The Beaumont High School play Law & Order Fairy Tale Unit canceled weekend's performances. It was presented for staff and students during the school day, and school officials plan to make recordings available to the public later. As a preventative measure against the coronavirus, COVID-19, the Piatt County Nursing Home was closed to visitors, including family, effective immediately. This was not a decision that we made lightly, and we understand that this will be a hardship on both the residents and their loved ones, said Nursing Home Director Scott Porter. However, given the potential threat of the spread of the COVID-19 virus, the Piatt County Nursing Home is taking this unprecedented step. The restriction on visitors will be in effect starting March 12th and will be in place until further notice, he added. The decision is preventative at this point as no cases of coronavirus have been diagnosed at the nursing home. But Porter said the elderly and those with suppressed immune systems symptoms are especially susceptible to the virus. COVID-19 seems to be the perfect killer when it comes to people with immune issues, respiratory issues, so we couldn't take this more seriously, Porter told the County Board Nursing Home Committee on Thursday. The nursing home began to limit visitors on March 6th, asking for those under 18 years of age or people exhibiting signs of illness to stay away. That ramped up as more cases of coronavirus were reported in the United States. Hand washing stations were put at facility entrances, and staff and visitors are assessed to make sure that they do not show flu-like symptoms before being admitted. The latest step goes farther, essentially shutting down the nursing home to visitors except when medically necessary. Tom Corbin, whose wife is a resident of the nursing home, said it would be a struggle for him not to visit, but understood the decision. It's come down to the safety of the residents, and whatever hardship I go through is not going to be anything like if it gets into the building, Corbin told the nursing home committee. The administration and staff of the Piatt County Nursing Home would like to thank you for your cooperation, patience, and understanding during this difficult time, added Porter in a letter and email sent to families of current patients. In addition, the Illinois Elementary School Association canceled the state wrestling and seventh grade state volleyball tournaments for middle and junior high school competitors. That meant no chance to compete at the state tourney for Monticello Middle School wrestlers Brandon Peters and Miles Van Buren, and also the MMS 7th grade volleyball squad, which had qualified for the Final Four. Friday, March 13th, in an early morning press release, Piatt County's ranking health official was advising schools to make their own decisions based on local data on whether to stay open or not in response to the coronavirus. DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health Department Administrator David Remmert noted that while Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker had mandated gatherings of 1,000 people or more be canceled, the governor did not recommend that school be canceled, but that local schools should develop their own guidance. Remmert's response came in an email to Piatt County school officials. While every school district is different, the state encourages school administrators and faculty to make responsible decisions guided by recommendations from the CDC and the state that are in the best interest of the health and safety of their students, he added. And while Remmert says the recent outbreak is reason for concern, instilling a sense of panic in area residents is a concern as well. He notes that in 2009, the H1N1 virus was even more concerning. This disease scare went on to infect an estimated 11 to 21% of the world's population and resulted in hundreds of thousands of deaths. Remmert indicated that the coronavirus, COVID-19, appears to be less serious. While I'm quite certain we eventually will see some cases locally, the disease does not appear to be especially serious, with most infected either showing no symptoms or mild symptoms that mimic a cold or case of the seasonal flu. To me, local response should be a data-driven and not just follow what other jurisdictions are doing, said Remmert. He added that he receives daily briefings on the coronavirus situation from the CDC and Illinois Department of Public Health, in addition to frequent meetings with local responders. Remmert also gave prevention tips in his email to local schools, including washing hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. If hand sanitizer is used instead, make sure it contains at least 60% alcohol. Avoid touching eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Stay home when sick. Cover a cough or sneeze with a tissue, then throw the tissue in the trash. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces, and consult with healthcare providers about getting a flu shot if you've not done so. By noon, school was still on, but Monticello, Bemidji, and Cerro Gordo had all announced the cancellation of all games and meets, as well as all travel and community gatherings of more than 50 people outside of the school day until at least April 6th. This will be done as an effort to minimize the risk and will be reevaluated at that time, said Greenwood, There will not be any extracurricular contests, but practices may continue at this time. Monticello announced that during its March 16 to 20 spring break, no practices could be held indoors by school or community teams. Monticello School Superintendent Vic Zimmerman said the decision to stay open there was due in part to the fact that healthy children are not known to get seriously ill from COVID-19. Parents, such as healthcare workers, need to be at work. Closing schools may not stem congregate gathering anyway. That the district has 250 children who rely on the free and reduced lunch program, and that there have been no cases confirmed in central Illinois. Things changed drastically by mid-afternoon, when Governor Pritzker announced all Illinois schools should be shuttered from March 17th until at least March 31st. That cancels all extracurricular practices and games as well. The situation will be addressed to see if the school ban will be lifted at that time. In the meantime, electronic/remote learning initiatives will be attempted by school districts. Cafeteria staff will continue to produce lunches to be picked up, which is aimed at those in the free and reduced lunch program. DeLand Weldon made mass lunches for its community to pick up enough on Monday afternoon to last them through Friday. Other districts are still coming up with their plans as the JR went to press. As those become available, they will be posted at www.journal-republican.com and or on the newspaper Facebook site and Twitter feeds. And on Sunday, March 15th, the governor spread the precautions to the commercial sector, mandating that there will be no dine-in service at Illinois restaurants and bars until at least March 30th. Drive-through and pickup services will still be allowed. On Sunday evening, Circuit Court Judges Jeremy Ritchie and Hugh Fenson announced that the hearing of court cases in Piatt and Moultrie counties would be limited to the most timely and severe ones. Civil cases, traffic, ordinance violations, misdemeanors, probate, small claims, family court, and some juvenile cases are on hold until at least March 31st. Our next article is headlined, BMET, Cerro Gordo Schools React to Potential Outbreak of Coronavirus. As the cases are of confirmed coronavirus grow in Illinois, multiple schools are taking high precautionary measures. At press time, several central Illinois cases had been confirmed. The virus causes symptoms similar to the flu, cough, fever, runny nose. We do not know the extent of this virus yet, but we do know it affects those with compromised immune systems and the elderly the most as far as fatality goes. BMET canceled their play Law & Order Fairy Tale Unit last weekend. Both BMET and Cerro Gordo school districts are taking the precautionary measures that the Central of Disease Control recommends. BMET held an assembly with hygiene tips on March 12th, focusing on washing hands for at least 20 seconds. After this, a cascade of cancellations occurred. The IESA canceled volleyball tournaments, wrestling tournaments, and by the hour, things changed on Friday. School sports have been canceled or delayed. As a diehard Cubs fan, finding out that baseball is currently postponed, I felt devastated, and I'm a Cubs fan. That was followed by the closure of all Illinois schools from March 17th to the 30th, followed by a statewide ban on dine-in eating at bars and restaurants. And then there are the shortages caused by widespread concern over the virus. We went out and couldn't find hand sanitizer online or anywhere else, said BMET School Superintendent Sheila Greenwood. She added it wasn't available at Walmart, Kroger, or anywhere. She settled on the Dollar Tree. I said, I'm going to go to the Dollar Tree and buy 200. They are medium-sized things. The teachers will go through one of those a day. Cerro Gordo Superintendent Brett Robinson replied via email about what measures might be taken to spread COVID-19. The health, safety, and welfare of our students, staff, and community is our highest priority. We are diligently following the preventative measures recommendations we are receiving both directly and indirectly from CDC and IDPH. We have posted CDC guidance about COVID-19 on our district website to keep the students, staff, and community informed. Greenwood gave a similar statement during the school board open session last week. Just being proactive, not panic, just stay calm and everything. Just start to think about everything, but trying to make sure we have plans in place so we don't have to make any rash decisions. Of course, we have pandemic plans. We have plans on how to handle all these types of things. This is such a moving target because literally every couple of hours we're getting new information. Robinson responded that there is indeed a daily discussion with administration. BMN is doing the same thing. Both districts take spring break at the same time with a noon dismissal on Wednesday, April 8th, and come back to school April 15th. During BMN's regularly scheduled board meeting on March 11th, Greenwood discussed the possibility of cancellation of classes. She emphasized that it is still unlikely, but if so, I think a lot of schools are going to use emergency days and then act of God days. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm feeling closer to probably saying we will now than 24 hours ago, she said at the March 11th school board meeting. As of last week, Robinson originally anticipated keeping schools open in Cerro Gordo as well, but we are preparing for the possibility of such a recommendation and how to best provide for the continuation of education through alternative methods of instruction, Greenwood said, while they hope to not go that route and could not even decide as a board to not do so. We don't have to decide to do e-learning, but if we did, then we would be able to, if the legislation passes, to eliminate those hoops. That reality came Friday afternoon when Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker ordered schools closed from March 17th to the 30th. As it stands, there are multiple hoops districts have to go through to even allow e-learning as an option, and there are other vectors that would need guidance and preparations, such as staff, parents, and students. As Robinson stated about Cerro Gordo schools, BMET schools face the same issue. We are among the 90% of Illinois public school districts that do not already have the optional e-learning days plan approved by the ISBE. ISBE is working on a waiver of some of the e-learning plan requirements in light of COVID-19 concerns. As it stands in BMET, Greenwood states from grade 6 through the 12th, there are about 12% of children without internet. However, only 45-50% of the staff, she stated, are using technology needed to implement e-learning initiatives. Even as I write this, the news is changing. At press time, the CDC was asking for all in-person of events of 50 people or greater be postponed. So follow the current CDC guidelines, stay posted, wash your hands, and stop buying all the toilet paper. Please stay up to date and follow guidelines. Events keep canceling and probably will throughout the month. Check with your local news and stay home if you are sick. Our next article is under the banner of scholarships, and the headline reads, DCFS announces applications being taken for scholarship. The Illinois Department of Children and Family Services is currently accepting applications for the 2020 DCFS Scholarship Program. Through the program, 53 academic scholarships will be awarded to current and former youth in care for the upcoming school year, with 4 awards reserved for the children of veterans. Nearly 1,400 current and former youth in care have had an opportunity to pursue a college degree since the DCFS scholarship program began in 1971. Scholarship recipients receive up to 5 consecutive years of tuition and academic fee waivers to be used at participating Illinois state community colleges and universities, a monthly grant of $537 to offset other expenses in a medical card. Scholarships reduce the financial burden of a college education and allow students more time and energy to focus on studies rather than worrying about their college expenses, said Illinois DCFS Acting Director Mark D. Smith. We want our current and former youth in care to access higher education that can pave the way to numerous workforce opportunities. The DCFS scholarship program is open to youth who have an open DCFS case, whose cases were closed through adoption or guardianship, or who aged out of care at 18 or older. Youth who are at least 16 years old and not yet 21 on March 31st may apply. Scholarship recipients will be selected based on their scholastic record and aptitude, community and extracurricular activities, 3 letters of recommendation from non-relatives, and a written statement illustrating their purpose for higher education. In 2019, the department received 205 application packets. Applications are available at any DCFS regional office and on the DCFS website, www.illinois.gov/DCFS. Form CFS 438 under DCFS features on the homepage. Students or caregivers may call the DCFS Office of Education and Transition Services at 217-557-2689 or 312-814-5959 with questions about the application process or for more information. And now, turning to page A6, under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. James Jim Albert Roll, 85, of Monticello, passed away at 1:43 p.m. on Saturday, March 7, 2020, at his home. Funeral services were at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, March 13, at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Broadlands. Pastor John Sharp officiated. Burial took place at Pleasant Ridge Cemetery in Newman. There was a visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, March 12th at Kirby Funeral Home, 708 South Main Street in Homer. Memorials can be made to Emmanuel Lutheran Church or Faith Lutheran Church. Brenda L. Durbin, 73, of Bement, passed away at 4:37 p.m. on Thursday, March 12, 2020, at the Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, Illinois. Funeral services were held at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, March 17, 2020, at the Hines Funeral Home, 348 North Pyatt Street in Bement, Illinois. Pastor Steve Engren officiated. Visitation was held from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Monday, March 16, 2020. Also at the Hines Funeral Home in Bement. Burial was in the Bement Township Cemetery. Memorial contributions can be made to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And now, returning to the news and views, we have this article under the banner of Cerro Gordo Schools. The headline reads, Cerro Gordo applies for matching grant. The Cerro Gordo School District has applied for an ISBE matching grant for roofing work in the school district. There are 3 main priorities, said Superintendent Brett Robinson. The first one is a roof replacement over the east side by the girls' locker rooms of the junior and senior high school. The second priority is the elementary annex and the agriculture building. The third is the gymnasium and the 2003 addition. Robinson told the school board last month that the grant is an ISBE matching grant for up to $50,000 or on a $100,000 or more project. The grant we are applying for is for health, life, and safety required district roof repairs and replacement. The district applied again for the ADM CARES grant as well. We've used it for our students that want to go to the Richland Transfer Academy and take college-level biology courses, college-level math courses, and tech classes, said Robinson, adding that Heartland Technical Academic Academy students benefit from the grant as well. The district approved the abatement of 2 general obligation bonds, series 1 for the 2016B for levy of year 2019, and the other for the series 2018 for the levy year 2019 as well. Under the heading of bonds also approved, we have this. The board also approved a resolution providing the issue of $577,400 taxable general obligation school bonds, series 2020, for the purpose of increasing the working cash fund. Robinson stated that the main purpose of this is to make certain the district's debt service extension is in good standing if a property tax freeze were to occur in the state of Illinois. The idea of a property tax freeze has been thrown around in recent years, and for districts in Illinois, a large amount of school funding currently comes from property taxes. Abatements to offset this bond sale, so no additional dollars to the bond fund in the levy, it would be a wash. Reason we are doing this is if a property tax freeze should happen in Illinois, we would need to have an adequate level of debt service extension base, he said. Board member Tom Henricks added, what is frustrating is the governor's office did a verbal public wrist slap for all of the municipalities, specifically school districts in the state, for doing exactly what we are doing because of the threat on the freeze of property taxes. The governor's office thinks we are working around their tax freeze. Robinson stated, before the board formally adopted the resolution, we recommend a conjunction with the working bonds so that our taxpayers only pay the amount paid on these building bonds. If no abatements were approved, we would ask taxpayers to pay more than what our bond payment would be, and we don't want to do that. We will use those funds that we just sold bonds for to make the payments that otherwise would be paid for 2016B and 2018, and they will basically pay themselves. And under the heading of other news, the district approved a 2-year contract with the Piatt County Sheriff's Department for their school resource officer. Robinson said about the officer's presence in the district through hallways, outside traffic control, and brief visits to classrooms and during the lunch period. I think it heightens a sense of security for our community, said the superintendent. There is a possibility that they may conduct a mock pullover for driver education students. One thing was with the driver's ed class was to do a mock pullover so that the kids could learn proper procedure, what the police officers are and why they're doing what they do and what they should be expecting and how they should react, said Robinson. Henricks added during unfinished business that the elementary playground needs work. If you look at the elementary playground, it's not handicap accessible. You can't push a wheelchair through that rock, he said. Here has got to be grants out there. When you stop at a playground rest area, they got those rubber like outdoor park rubber. Elementary principal Jody Neville added, yes, like what they have out at Scoville Zoo. The rubber mats are several hundred thousand. Very expensive. I get it, but there's got to be grants out there for that because what we have now is not accessible, countered Henricks. Robinson added, it is on their list of things to work on. The track is another one, as no meets thus far have been scheduled. The district approved the resignation of former junior high volleyball assistant coach Alex McMillan and employed Amanda Hoffman as the part-time BAS director. Students of the month for February were Reese Peters for 7th grade, Dylan Howell, 8th grade, and Grayson Walters, high school. Finally for today, we have this one letter to the editor. It's headlined, Remember, You Are Not Alone. Our entire world has been thrown into chaos. The last time any of us experienced this type of chaos was probably when 9/11 occurred. I remember feeling fear, panic, and uncertainty. What many of us experienced was our country joining together in unity, and for a season we put our pettiness aside and chose to unite with each other, recognizing that we have more in common than we realized. Our country has experienced some deep fissures in the very bedrock of who and what we're all about. This is evidenced in the media and how we have been brainwashed into believing that we have to take sides with our beliefs and opinions, and it has left us isolated. Community is created when we are united. When we are separated, we distrust and fail to see the good in each other. Through this coronavirus crisis, it is reminding me that fear, panic, and uncertainty still exist. And whereas 9/11 caused us to band together, we are now being called to stay apart. While this is unique, I am realizing that the security we all feel when the bills are paid, the refrigerator is full, and the electricity is on is not security at all, but rather is a false sense of security. From Andrea Lively of Monticello. This has been the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated March 18, 2020. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.